Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. We f***ed that. Anyway, you'll find a way.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, this podcast has one purpose. I've been very clear about that. It's to buy a boat. It's to gather enough money for me to buy a boat. But we do that in positive ways where we can. And one of the positive things we're doing today is to shine a little light on a talented person, Anna Freer, close personal friend, excellent musician. She's originally an Adelaide person. She's gone off to Switzerland. I've been friends with Anna for many years. She's the godmother of one of my children. And she's got this new Substack. It's called Gladness in the Ruthless Furnace. There's a link in the description. And every Monday, she has a... It's called Monday Musicings. There's some funny punctuation. Every Monday, she's putting out a playlist of 10 songs. I've really been enjoying it. And indeed, I like to think I'm one of the reasons for it, because Anna's a great writer, and I've hectored her to write something, and she settled on this as a good thing to do. So I am here today to promote that Substack. I want people to go out, sign up to that Substack. It's brought me a great deal of comfort knowing that these playlists are out there. I have had real trouble finding new music. The things that I used to go to for new music, music magazines have cratered. There's no one working at them anymore. The old sources, pitchfork.com, it's no good. It's gone very political. And just to have a thing coming out every Monday saying, here are 10 songs you might like to listen to, it's brought me a great deal of joy. I hope it brings you a great deal of joy too. There's a link to it below the Substack, annafreer.substack.com. It's called Gladness in the Ruthless Furnace. Here is a conversation with Anna Freer. The podcast starts now. I've come off the cigarettes recently. And I went to the rest is history, and I saw Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook, and I was so in Adelaide, yeah. And I got to meet them a little bit, but it was the end of a meet and greet, and they were very tired, and I didn't manage to say anything interesting or bigger. But anyway, afterwards, I was on such a high that I borrowed a girl's vape, and I hit a vape, and I think I must have had about 8. I know it's not something I would ever usually do. But then I was like, afterwards, I was like, I'm out of control. No more of this nonsense.
Was it also disgusting, or was it was it delicious, it was like or grape, was it disgusting?
It was grape ice, by recollection. And I've been a real sourpuss for a long time, like 2-3 days. Post vape, no good. But you know what has put me in a good mood is your new Substack that we're here to talk about today. What's it called? What's in it?
I just want to know about the vape. Did it taste like Hubba Bubba? Does it taste like...
You know what? I didn't find out the flavor beforehand. I had it blind.
But does it taste like chewing gum?
It's just very sugary.
Okay, anyway.
And also, like, like, there's... It doesn't hurt. You can't drag in enough of it that it gives that very satisfying, almost eating-like quality when you have a cigarette. That sharpness of passing down the windpipe feels substantive. It feels like chewing and swallowing.
I don't think I've ever dragged down hard enough on a cigarette to have that feeling. I do remember one of our mutual friends was like, "You don't inhale. You're wasting my cigarettes."
Tell me about your Substack.
My Substack is got a great title. It's called Gladness in the Ruthless Furnace. From a great Jack Gilbert poem that is called A Brief for the Defense. That's very sad. The Substack's not going to be very sad. Oh, but the Jack Gilbert poem has some hope in it, so maybe it is like the Jack Gilbert poem. I'm sorry, I'm not very good at interviews.
No, it's the writing where you flourish. The conversation and the interview to promote it. We're doing fine, we're getting through.
You're going to have to do so much editing.
No, I won't have to do that much editing.
Probably hardly any of these songs are new to you, and probably hardly any of these songs are new to a lot of people, because I didn't grow up listening to the popular music. I didn't grow up listening to anything but classical music. And so... I mean, as an aside, I think a reason that you love this list is because there's always songs that you've recommended to me on it.
And we'll talk about them in a second.
Yeah. But the thing that I am interested in, and that I've become really interested in, like, in classical music in the last few years, is how do we take things that people know that are not necessarily, like, new, out of the blue, like, all of these things... But how do we place them in, like, slightly different contexts so that then they take on some sort of a different life? And I was thinking about it, and I was especially thinking about it with a couple of the pairings in this week's newsletter. It's like they have such fun connections to each other that I think it can become, like, a new experience for a listener, even if you know... I mean, it was so funny when I called you the week and I was like, "I'm going to put Cry, Cry, Cry by Johnny Cash. What a great song." And you were like, "You don't know Cry, Cry, Cry by Johnny Cash?"
Well, I will start by saying, so your dad and your mother are both quite heavily involved in classical music. You have, like, an extremely classical music family. You're the youngest of many siblings, all of whom who I have met play classical music at a very high standard. When did you illicitly start getting into the pop stuff?
I think it was two big memories. One is of my... Oh, maybe you should edit this out. But one is of my dad discovering a CD of my brother's, putting it in the CD player that was at that time one of these really fancy CD players that opened from the front. Listening to, like, 5 seconds of it or 10 seconds of it and then grabbing the front of the CD player, forcing it open, and was like, "What are you listening to?" And my brother, all I remember my brother being like, was like, "I just had that CD for the Cat Empire."
Do you remember what it was?
It was like AC/DC or something, and, like, it was like heavy metal. And then
I don't know that your dad would have any particular problem with that story. He'd probably take it as, like, I think, a bold action.
I think having this many young children, I'm sure you can relate. It's a stressful time. But also funny was that from that point on, whenever you would put a CD in our CD player and try to close it, it would be like. So it was like forever reminder. But I think my siblings were listening to it. I remember, I have vague snippets of, like, Ben Folds songs that my sisters would sing around. And, like, my brother taught me this, the one Sufjan Stevens song about John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Yeah, what was the second memory? The second memory
was when my best friend's older sister gave me her old MP3 player. And then I used to catch the bus to things, and I used to listen to, I was like, that was the big discovery. And I don't think I hid that. I didn't advertise it, but I don't think I hid it.
What year was this? How old were you when this is happening?
I reckon I was around 12 or 13. So, like, 20, wow, I was like 10 years ago, but I'm not 23 anymore. So 2010 around. And on the bus on the H30, listening to I discovered Arctic Monkeys.
A great bus.
Yeah, such a good bus.
Turns left once you get up to the end of the parade.
Carrara? No, it Carrara. Doesn't. It doesn't go down the parade. It goes down McGill.
No,
You're thinking the H20. Oh, excuse
me. Well, it used to be the 1-2-3. I don't even know what's going on
anymore. This used to be the 104.
What was on there? What was on the MP3 player?
Arctic Monkeys, Blue October, Regina Spektor.
Very of a time.
Who else? I really remember the Arctic Monkeys a lot, and just that one album that he's smoking
the
cigarette.
The first album or the second album? Yeah, it's a great album.
It is a great album, and I don't like anything else as much as that album.
Oh, Infinity Base, Hotel and Casino?
It's a good track.
Yeah, the album. I don't make it through any of the album.
The album.
Or the subsequent album. This is a weird time for me to be recommending something with music because I have never been so criticized for my music taste as I am right now.
By who?
I put up a video on Instagram about... And the joke is Europeans don't write good pop songs anymore.
They don't.
The longer bit was about they used to do classical music really well, and there just aren't that many English composers in the classical, in the 17th, 18th, 19th centuries to compare. And so it was like, and I was like, oh, why does this happen anyway? But I just left in the bit going, why can't the Europeans write a good pop song? It has now had almost 2 million views on Instagram. And hundreds and hundreds of comments. Every time I look at my phone, it's brutal, brutal comments from Europeans about my music taste. Man. So,
but I'm, here's the thing: they think because they like, I don't think you should take those too seriously because these are the people that think they're sending the best to Eurovision.
Some of them have said, "Actually, we're not." We don't take it seriously either.
Maybe they're all from Iceland, which are the only people that sent the good ones.
Well, they are all from Sweden.
Oh,
so I've gone viral with Swedes going, every pop song that's any good has been written by a Swede. Use the Wikipedia.
There is actually, there's one good pop song called Heard Somebody Whistle by J.J. Johnson. Mm-hmm. But you don't think he's a Swede because it's just spelled J-A-Y, J-A-Y. But actually, if you go on his Spotify, it's Jonsson.
I'll look it up. Heard somebody whistle. It's a joke. First thing I'd like to say, my thing's a joke. But the Cardigans are Swedes. I mentioned ABBA. ABBA are Swedes. Mm-hmm. Max Martin, I think is his name. The songwriter, he's just written everybody. He wrote Hit Me Baby One More Time and 20 other songs. He's a Swede. There are a lot of Swedes. Okay, Swedes?
You got one thing. You got the one good... But it's not enough. You know? It's not enough to save the whole European Union.
I'll say this. It doesn't... Well, it doesn't even... I don't think Sweden is even competing per capita compared to, Like, if it was, like, Sweden versus Florida. I bet you Florida's having more good pop songs than Sweden.
Isn't it funny that, like, England sent their one random guy, and he... Did they win that year? The spaceman?
No. They came second because the Ukraine won. Excuse me, Ukraine. Don't use the definite article. That's very un-PC. Ukraine won. But then, of course, they couldn't have Eurovision in Ukraine because of the unpleasantness.
Yes. But that was such a good song. Spaceman is such a good song. I'm in Spaceman. Don't put that in. I'm meant to be a musician.
Anna Freer, there. Gladness in the Ruthless Furnace. It's available on Substack. I've popped a link below. I guess below doesn't really make sense in a podcast. Unlike if you were in a YouTube video, you say below. It's below the video. But this is just around. The sound does not exist really on the same plain as the visual medium. Hey, it's been a dreadful week for Jimmy. Dreadful week. I'm just churning through the visa stuff. Cannot wait to get to America. Very sad about leaving Adelaide. Having lots of feelings. Just getting through it. Eating a lot of cheese. Having a lot of wine. Having a bottle of wine every night at the moment. That has to come to an end. That absolutely has to come to an end. I can't live like that anymore. But I will be living like that for a few more days. There's a lot of forms to fill out and how much suffering am I meant to go through. If I'm not smoking, I'll be drinking. And it's important for me not to smoke because if I get to America and the price of cigarettes are like $4 a pack or something, I'll go crazy. I've got to have a very strong no-smoking regimen now before I go, because here, okay, you have one or two and then you have a bad, you know, week getting back to normal and then you don't have one for months and months, which is, you know, that's okay because it's so expensive to get back into it. But in America, boy, so cheap. Really affordable cigarettes, and nice cigarettes too. American Spirit, yum. Filter free, hello. Rolled for ya. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I can't, I endeavor, I want to live. I want to live and I want to be strong and I want to be capable. So there will not be smoking in America. Certainly won't be vaping, absolutely repulsive. I wish I had never admitted to that publicly. But, I mean, I could just stop the episode coming out, but I did it. I'm open to it. I'm sorry. I hereby apologize. There will be no inhalation of any nicotine-type products moving forward, leaving the door open to have those little pockets, those pouches that go on the gum, the snus. I'm not going to have that either. Nicotine's so wonderful. I'm not going to have it. We're going to get to the end of this process. I love you. I miss you. This is the penultimate episode. There's a thank you, goodbye episode coming out very soon. Catamaran ho, everybody. Keep it real. Ciao for now. Bye-bye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.